we've been talking about in these sessions, that spirit feeds spirit, flesh feeds flesh. You know, I can't give my spirit a banana and my spirit say, yum, yum, that was great. No, I give my physical body a banana and my physical body is nourished by that. I can't give my mind a banana and my mind digests that. And I can give my mind a book. I can have my mind watch a movie and it be entertained. And those kind of things feed my mind, my intellect. They entertain me. But with spirit, the only thing that can feed your spirit is something that has spiritual substance. And there's a lot of people that they've got counterfeit spiritual food that has gone, and they think it's real spiritual food, but it's mind, it's intellect, it's philosophy. Do you know, I like the real balusami, do you? Made in the umu, with the smoky flavor. And you know, part of it is usually burned a little bit. That's my favorite part. I like the real balusami. I don't like the balusami from the pot, do you? Maybe you say, I like everything, Pastor. No, just like you like the real balusami out of the real umu, we like real spiritual food. We don't want things that have the form of feeding us, but when we get home, that was just some intellectual tickling. We want spiritual food so that we can grow, because physical food feeds my physical body. Intellectual food feeds my intellect, my mind, my will, my emotions. But only spirit can feed spirit. So we come together at church, and the Lord has been talking to me more and more about church being a place where we learn spiritual things. We're not going to learn how to tie our shoes tonight. We're not going to learn how to ride a bike. We're not going to learn how to build a house. We're not going to learn how to cut hair. Those are physical things that we learn. And most of you, you know how to dress yourself. You know how to feed yourself. You know how to get from A to B. You know how to pay your bus fare. We're not here to learn physical things. And we're not really here to learn intellectual things. We're here to learn how to operate in the things of the Spirit. The title of our series is More Than Conquerors. More Than Conquerors. And of course, the verse goes on to say that it's through Him. Through Him. Not all by ourselves, but connected to God, He has made us more than conquerors. And being connected to God down on the earth, it's not a physical connection. It's not a mental connection. As we've been saying, if you want to know God on earth, you're going to have to learn to know Him on the level and in the dimension that He functions in and that He exists in. God is a... I'm glad nobody said big body. No. God is a gigantic mind, and those who worship Him must worship Him in mental, palava, crazy, emotional. No. John's gospel said God is a spirit, so that should give you a clue right there. How are you going to talk to a spirit? See, you're already so far ahead of me. When I was young, I thought that I could have a physical and a mental relationship with God, and that's how it worked. And I tried that. I would go outside and yell, and Lord, where are you? And just hear just the crickets in the backyard, huh? Well, you're trying to have a physical relationship with someone that He actually communicates on another level, in another dimension, and you actually have that level in you, but you have to be trained to operate spiritually and to hear things with your spirit. Over the last two sessions, I believe this is our third session, we've talked about men who, right in a 911 situation, were able to, we'll talk about Moses again. We'll just use him as a great example. Moses is backed up to the Red Sea. The children of Israel are screaming, I'm sure. The most elite army in the world is pressing down upon them. Their fate is imminent. They're going to be slaughtered by these professional soldiers. And there's Moses. People screaming. People saying, why did you bring us out here to die? Weren't there plenty, weren't there plenty of places to bury us in Egypt? And I'm sure he's seeing this and he's got to deal with his own mind, his own emotions. I'm sure his physical eyes are seeing it, and everything is working and processing this as a human being on the planet. 911 situation, life or death situation. Have any of you ever had a 911? Nuevo uno uno? Eva tasi tasi. Did I say it right? Is it Eva tasi tasi? Right in the middle of Eva tasi tasi, he's able to turn down the volume of his mind and turn down the volume of fear and turn down the volume of 3 million people screaming and yelling at him and tune in to the voice of his spirit. In the middle of all this, he's here on the planet operating physically. He's here on the planet operating spiritually. Everyone else is operating physically and physically and mentally, but there's only one guy that's operating spiritually, if you will. He's able to turn off the physical voice. He's able to turn off the emotional and intellectual voice. What's that voice? You're gonna die. You're gonna die. You're gonna die. Turn that one down. And tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where? In his spirit. The way that God speaks to us is his spirit to our spirit. And that is a spiritual transaction, if you will. What's a spiritual transaction? Well, there's intellectual transactions. We call them conversations, right? Where we transfer information. You've got to go pick up Johnny at 6 o'clock. Could you do that for me? Sure, I'll do that for you. That was a transaction, huh? But a spiritual transaction that we're talking about here is when God speaks, can you hear him? When God says something by his spirit to your spirit, are you at a level of spiritual development that if he was screaming at the top of his lungs, hold your rod out over the water, 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 hold your rod out over the water. What? God is not answering my prayer. Yes, he is. He's screaming the answer to you, but you pick up the answers to your prayers on the inside, not in your mind and not with your five physical senses, seeing, hearing, especially. So Moses is able to silence every other emotion, voice, sense, and pay attention to the voice speaking to his spirit. And that's a spiritually developed human being. Now, I was reading again this account in Exodus, and it's quite funny because it skips a little bit. They see the army coming, and then all of a sudden God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward. Let's go to the scripture. Thank you, Lord. We're going to continue to lay a foundation in some of the word. Some of these verses I've known my whole life, but I didn't really see what it meant. Hi, Mephi. Hello. Good to see you. Hello, sir. 1 John 5:4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Notice it says whatsoever. And this is the victory or the process that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Amplified says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory, I added the word process, this is the victory process that conquers the world, even our faith. The WIS translation, which I like to call the very smart people translation, it says, because everything that has been born of God is constantly coming off victorious over the world. And this is the victory that comes off victorious over the world, our faith. So the basic thing that we're trying to teach you that is completely normal on earth is that sons and daughters of God can hear their Father when He speaks to them. That's a basic principle that every person that's born again into the family of God, that's really the first thing you need to know. Because if you can't hear from your Father, you're dead in the water. It's interesting that the first parable that Jesus taught was the parable of the sower. What did He say? The sower sows the word. What does that mean? God's trying to talk to you. God is constantly sowing the word. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly trying to get messages to you to help you. God is constantly, now that we've got no barrier between us, that we're reconnected, we're restored to fellowship, God is a sower. And He's actually called the Word. What good would the Word be if you can't hear the Word? The sower sows the Word. This is not our main text, but isn't it interesting that four different kinds of people heard God at some level? Some were like a hard ground. They were like a driveway or a pavement. And for them, it was like He never even said anything. What do you mean? I never heard anything. No, He's talking. But your heart is so hard that you're not able to hear. I like what the Word says. If you would hear His voice today, if you would hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you would hear His voice, harden not your heart. The first basic principle that the Holy Spirit is going to want to teach you when you're a born-again baby Christian is to recognize His voice. John says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. The voice of a stranger, they don't follow. So we know, and this isn't our major text for tonight, but the hard ground, it was like God never even said anything to them. But the sower was sowing the word. And then the rocky ground, they got it a little bit, but then they got offended. And again. And then the thorny ground, or the weedy ground, if you will, God was talking to those people, but they let other things choke out His word or drown out His word. We've been saying this, that this is the loudest voice that you want to hear. Your spirit should be the loudest voice in your life. Your spirit with God's spirit on the inside, that should be the loudest voice in your life. But then the sower talked to people that were good ground in their spirits. I'd like to say it this way. They were spiritually developed enough that when God spoke to them, they heard it. Their heart was in a position and a condition that when He spoke, they were able to pick that up on the inside. See, the other three people, one guy wasn't able to pick up anything. The other two were able to pick it up at certain levels, but then they let it go. But then this fourth person, he was able to hear it crystal clear. And at a level that was so crystal clear that faith came. Faith came. It was so clear. It was like hearing the voice of his parents. Faith came. He heard it so crystal clear that he could act on it without saying, was that the Lord? No, that wasn't the Lord. No, that's the other two kinds of ground. Was that the Lord? No. no crystal clear being able to hear the word of God. So here's Moses back to the Red Sea. 911 situation, obviously calls upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him immediately. Immediate response. And said, "Why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water." Was that a born of God answer? Now, we just read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This verse never really made sense to me until the Lord showed me it at this level. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Was this a born of God idea? Was this a born of God instruction? Was this a born of God way to win over Pharaoh? Yes, it was. It wasn't a born of Moses' mind. It wasn't born of Moses' fear. It was a born of God. It originated with God. He said it to Moses. Moses was able to hear that and believe it. Faith came, and he acted on it. So when did Moses hold his rod out over the water? This is a trick question. After he heard the born of God instructions from God's spirit to his spirit. Not before, right? Because faith comes by hearing something from God first. A born of God answer to your prayer, to your cry. Faith comes by hearing something from God first. You can't stretch out your rod in faith if God didn't tell you to. We also looked at David and all of his wives, two of them, and his children were stolen by the Amalekites, and all the men with him, their wives were stolen as well. The men were pretty mad. They wept and they cried until they couldn't cry anymore. But then David inquired of the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord. Now, here's another human being that was spiritually developed enough on earth that when God spoke to him, he was able to pick that up immediately. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, we're wanting to develop you spiritually to the place that when God speaks to you, when you pray and you have a 911 emergency in your life, that you can actually perceive the answer with your organ of perception, as Hebrews puts it. Strong meat are for those that are of full age, who by reason of use have their spiritual faculties trained so that they can know what is good, what is evil, what to do, what not to do. So training you spiritually so that when God speaks, you can hear him. Because this is the victory. This is how we win down here. We pray. The victory process, I said. We pray. God answers. We hear him answer. Crystal clear. We do what he tells us to do. And then God works and moves on our behalf in a way that more than conquers the situation. More than conquers the Egyptian army. I hate to keep going back, but that was, boy, I hope they have a video. I hope they have a lot of videos. One of my favorite videos, and you all know this if you know me, is when Pilate stood up against and looked at Jesus in the face and said, "Don't you know who I am?" Again. I want to see that one again. This guy. And if he is in heaven, which I believe probably he is, he's going to, yeah, that was my worst moment. "Don't you know who I am?" You're talking to God right in his face. Anyways, if you go through the battle, which for the sake of time, I've really just paraphrased these stories for you. But Moses holds out his rod. We'll get back to David. Moses holds out his rod. Why? Because he heard a born of God instruction to do that. He was able to pick that up over all the other voices that were screaming in his life. Now, this is a spiritual person. What do you mean spiritual? They can function spiritually. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means when God talks to them, they can perceive that or pick them up. Even if it's just low sound, like we call that the inward witness or the inward knowing. Even if it's just the faintest little hint of something. Oh, you've got a heartbeat in your spirit. You're functioning spiritually. It says that when Moses obeyed the born of God instruction, he didn't think this up. It was a born of God. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory process that overcomes the world. Having faith in what he just said to us and stand back and watch him more than win for you. It says, well, the water piled up on both sides and it dried out so nobody had muddy feet or muddy sandals. Isn't that awesome? It's like, maybe I really better clean it up a little so the humans don't have to get new shoes on the other side. And then, of course, the Egyptians followed them into the Red Sea. But I was reading there today, at a certain point during the battle, the Lord blew all the wheels off the Egyptians' chariots. He just blew them all off. Is that more than conquering? Is that something that Moses and the guys would have been able to do? Let's run for our lives, but while we're at it, let's pull all their wheels off in our spare time. No. This is more. This is more than kicking your, you know. This is more than conquering. And then they all drowned. Not one person survived. Not one person survived. And could all the men of Israel held them underwater that long and drowned them this way? No, this is more than conquering. This is way more than conquering. And this was a born of God plan, not a born of man plan. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. This process. You praying, you crying out, ah, help me. Faith begins somewhere, right? And then God tells you what to do and you hear it crystal clear. And you act on it. I remember when Brother Dunnick passed away, it's been almost 12 years now. And that was a horrible thing to go through, 2 years of fighting for his life. And I remember the night that he passed at about 2 a.m. And I was so exhausted. I was laying on the floor of the bedroom crying and just didn't even pray, just so exhausted in every single way. And the verse, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That was rolling around on the inside of my spirit. I could hear that verse rolling around inside there, but I was still laying on the ground kind of crying, almost too tired to cry. But then I heard his voice. I heard his voice say, you're winning, get up. Crystal clear. Crystal clear, undeniable, a born of God encouragement. You're winning, Patty. Get up. So I got up. And I never went back down. Praise God. This is the victory process. It's called faith in God. Have faith in God. All right. Well, what do we have faith? Faith in what he says to you. Faith in what he tells you to do. And this is the victory process that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, let's go back to David, and again, this is a lot of review. I realize that many of you are in here. Like last week at the end of the service, I said, are you getting this? And some of you are like, and I love that. You're honest that you've never heard in your whole life that God can talk to you and you can hear him. You see it in the Bible, and it's great if that's what happened with Moses, but that's never happened with me, and I don't ever expect it to happen with me. Well, there's more, because he said in our covenant that we would all know him from the greatest to the least. And he said that we have full access to him by one spirit. And he also said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and help in the exact time of need. Not 3 weeks later when it's too late and everybody's dead. No, we have a throne of grace that we can come to. It's right here. God with us on the inside. And we can go there and get immediate answers for immediate problems and know what to do. Born of God answers, born of God wisdom, born of God strategies. So same thing with David. They stole his wife, they stole his kids, they stole all everybody's. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he said, Lord, should I go up? Should I chase after them? Should I recover all? And the Lord said, immediately, go up at once, overtake them, and recover all. Now that was a born of God instruction. That if you're spiritually developed to the place where you can actually hear God it when he speaks. And in order, I'll just say this, and this might be a little psh. In order to hear God, you're going to have to pay attention to the place that he speaks from in your life. So turn down the voice of your mind. You still need to use it. Turn down the voice of your body. You know when your body's talking, right? I'm hungry. I'm tired. That's your body letting everyone know how it feels. You know when your mind is talking, right? I feel like I'm going to go crazy if that person says one more thing to me. I feel like I'm just going to lose it. You need to turn that voice way down. You need to turn your body's voice way down. Because here's the thing. If faith does come this way, and our answers do come this way, the last thing in the world that the devil wants you to be developed in is being able to hear God when he speaks to you and gives you your victory instructions and shows you how you're going to beat him and win over him. He wants you to turn your mind way up. He wants you to turn the voice of your body way up. He wants you to be so distracted that God could literally be screaming at you politely your whole life and you never, ever hear him. The God of this world has blinded their hearts, their minds, so that they don't see, they don't hear. And to them, they say things like this: I prayed and God didn't answer. And they're mad about it. They're mad. I prayed and God didn't answer. That's impossible. David talks about when he called upon the Lord and the Lord heard me and the Lord answered. Jeremiah, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. This whole generation has been brainwashed into thinking that God won't talk to you. No, he'll talk to you. Go up at once, recover all. So he got his wives back. He got his kids back. Everybody else got their wives back, their kids back. Plus, they got everything that those armies had conquered. All the stuff. That's more than conquering. More than conquering. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let me put it this way, if you'll let me. Who's going to separate us from God trying to rescue us? Nothing. But how does God rescue us? He tells us what to do. How does God rescue us down here? What's that spiritual transaction like? How did God rescue Moses? He told him what to do on earth. And he did it, and God worked through it. How did God take Jericho for the children of Israel? He told them what to do on earth. They did it, and he worked a miracle for them. This is the victory process that will overcome the world. How did that work again with David? He told David what to do on earth. And David was at a place where he could hear and understand, that's the Lord telling me to do this. And what comes? Faith comes by hearing. So David's faith, did he have faith to go up at once and chase after those guys and recover all? Before God said that? No, faith came after he heard God say, go up at once, recover all. A lot of people do this. They'll pray. They'll not hear an answer. Not because God's not showing you an answer, but you haven't been trained spiritually, developed spiritually, so that when he speaks, you hear him in your heart. And come to Rhema. I would like to do that in 5 minutes, but I can't. I can give me a couple months and I can help you with that, but I can't train you to go from zero spiritually to 100 plus in 1 hour. I would like to keep coming, keep building. Thank you, Lord. Faith came after he heard God's voice, and that is a principle. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that's the written word, but also the spoken word, the rhema word. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? Was Moses in distress? Yes. Was David in distress? Yes. Persecutions? Nope. Will God answer my prayer in the middle of being persecuted? Someone saying, I'm going to kill you if you don't. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Will we be able to hear instant answers when this is happening right now in our life? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, perilous, or sword? Yeah, we'll be able to pick up answers from God because this is the victory process. And it can be crystal clear. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, we said more than conquering, hyper-Nike, is to be more than a conqueror. Overwhelmingly conquer or beyond conquering. Now, I want to introduce another verse. We touched on it last week. Zechariah 4:6. We quoted a lot. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What in the world does that mean? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. How many of you agree that if this scripture is in the word, that there should be an example illustrating this scripture? There should be several examples illustrating, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, we've already gone over three of them. Crystal clear examples where it wasn't the powerful strength of Moses and the Israeli men that turned on the Egyptian and beat them to pulp and sent them screaming home to their mommies. No, it was not by power. It was not by might. It was by a man being able to hear God when he spoke, and faith came, and he obeyed what God said, and that's by the Spirit. That battle was won by the Spirit. Do I have to keep going? Do you see that? Same thing with Jericho. Same thing with David. It wasn't a military campaign where he was so awesome and his strength and his intellect, and he didn't even need to pray. No. It was by the Spirit of God telling him, go up overtake, recover all. Thank you, Lord. And I like what it says. They beat him from twilight all night long, like Lionel Richie, from one evening all the way to the next evening. That's more than conquering. Let's look at this. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The CEV says, I am the Lord, all powerful. So don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my spirit. What do you mean on your spirit? Depend on my spirit telling you how to do it, how to win it. These born of God answers, this is the victory process that will overcome anything and everything that you're going to go through down here. God telling you and showing you what to do. And you doing it, believing it and doing it, and God moving on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Another translation, DRA, and he answered and spoke to me saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. God spoke to Zerubbabel too. Not with an army, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Again, what do you mean by your spirit? Are you just magically going to do something and I just stand there and don't have to do anything? I don't see that happening either. Moses had to hold his rod out, right? And then he got tired, and then the guys had to help him keep the rod. Remember the story? When he put it down, the water started. Moses had a part to play in the victory. The children of Israel had to march around the city. David had to go up at once and recover all. Even though Moses said, behold and see the salvation of the Lord, they had to do something. By the Spirit, yes. By obeying what God tells you to do in your emergency situation. And hopefully being developed to the place that when he talks to you, you can hear him. The ERV, your help will not come from your own strength and power. No, your help will come from my spirit. That is what the Lord all-powerful says. The ICB, this is the message from the Lord to Zerubbabel. You will not succeed by your own strength. That's physically, by your own power. Your power will come from my spirit. So could you show me an example of that actually happening? Yes, we just showed you. There was a man out in the desert with 3 million people. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and answered. He was able to hear the Lord when he spoke to him. Probably nobody else heard the answer. Everyone was looking at Moses saying, Moses is just standing there doing nothing. No, Moses is conversating with the Lord on the inside. He's getting a born of God answer that's not just going to save him, but it's going to save everyone. Thank you, Lord. More than winning for yourself, you save the whole nation. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit showing you what to do, you hearing it crystal clear, you acting on it by faith, and the Lord moving on your behalf. That's what we call a spiritual transaction on earth. Can I say it that way? Oh, the Lord likes to make those for you. He likes to make you more than a conqueror. The TLB, this is the message to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. One more. Lord said, your strength will not get my temple built. Your power will not do it either. Only the power of my spirit will do it, who says the Lord who rules over. So we see this pattern of people winning supernaturally throughout the Old Testament, and the pattern is this. God personally spoke to them. They were able to hear it and do what he said or believe what he said, act on it, and then the miracles occurred. Those are born of God answers, and that is the victory that is available for you to have. Thank you, Lord. So faith, being able to hear God's voice in your heart clearly, is the key to faith coming, which is the key to your victory. I hope it's simple enough. Should I tell you some stories now? Thank you, Lord. I want to give you a couple. No, I got to say what he says. All right. It's like, no, I'm not talking about that right now. He just said that to me. So what I'm talking to you, I wanted to go tell this funny story so you guys don't fall asleep. And he just jerked me back to what he told me to say. That was a spiritual transaction. Thank you, Lord. So if faith comes by hearing God's words, if that's the only way it comes, by hearing this word, and faith comes by hearing God's words spoken to your spirit, shouldn't the goal of the enemy be to hinder us from ever hearing God at this level, to separate us from seeing in the spirit, from hearing in the spirit? Wouldn't the goal be, if faith comes by hearing, and this is the way, the victory process, that God's going to show us something in our hearts, something to do that will overcome this world system. If that's how we win down here, wouldn't the enemy, the devil himself, be working overtime to keep us from ever functioning spiritually at this level? Scrambling the messages. Look at that over there. Instead of looking at God. You know, I had a family with 5 kids in the family. My mom and dad are back there. Mary, Mike, Pat, Tom, Peggy, good Catholic names. And almost every Friday night we would go to McDonald's, huh? And dad would get Filet-O-Fish because he was a good Catholic. We would get cheeseburgers because we were bad Catholics. Anybody who's a Catholic knows you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday, right? So, but my brothers inevitably, they always ordered 5 cheeseburgers. Literally, I'll take 5 cheeseburgers. And the lady thought that was it for the whole family. And then my younger brother said, no, I'm going to order now too. I'll take 5 cheeseburgers. They would always say, Patty, what's that over there? And I'd look away and they'd steal my French fries. That's the devil right there. That is the devil. God's trying to show you something amazing that's going to cause you answers to questions you've had for years, a victory to come, and the devil will go, Patty, look at that over there. And he'll just steal the word of God. And that's what the parable in Mark 4 says. Immediately he comes to steal the word of God. Why? Because he knows that's your key to victory, being able to hear God when he speaks to you. Even this, I started to pay attention to that parable because Jesus said, if you don't get this, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any other parables. God's trying to talk to you. God's trying to show you things that you don't know so that your life will be better down here. Ways to win. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're almost at the end of our notes. I've got 2 more passages to tell you. Oh, we're doing pretty good. Actually, I'm ahead of schedule. You guys, you okay? Do you need to stretch a little? I know maybe if you don't speak English very well. Oh, I never told you we have someone translation. No, Tavita did. But you didn't get any Bibles. Sorry about that. Let's go into the New Testament and see if God is speaking to people at the same level that he spoke to people in the Old Testament. Because all of us, we're good. We're good with Moses hearing God's voice. We're good with David hearing God's voice. We're good with Joshua hearing God's voice. We're good with Isaiah and all the prophets hearing God's voice. Yeah, yeah, they did. But today, nothing. No, in the New Testament, the voice was actually louder and clearer, and everyone could hear it. All right, so let's look at an example. Acts chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll just read a little story. This is kind of day in the life of the New Testament church. It says, there came also multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk with them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So we're seeing amazing results. Human beings on earth are laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and everyone is getting healed. Everyone is getting delivered. We're seeing ministry at the same level that Jesus ministered at, where everyone was healed and everyone was delivered. And that got the religious leaders very upset. So they put their hands on them and they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to all the people all the words of this life. That was like a sound intercom system. I know the special effects are just amazing around here at Rhema, even in the uttermost parts of the earth. So the angel of the Lord comes in, opens the prison's door, and says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Verse 21. And when they heard that, now we read this over like it's a fairy tale or just stories. You need to stop and say, wait, what? When they all heard that, because there were multiple arrests here. The apostles were arrested. The angel of the Lord spoke to all of them. All of them heard it. When they heard that, heard what? When they heard a spirit, not a physical human being, the angel of the Lord, when they heard a spirit speak to them, and they were able to pick that up, crystal clear, they were able to hear what he said. And when they heard that, faith comes by hearing. Would they have done that if they hadn't have heard that? No, this is the victory process. You hear God telling you something. You hear an answer to your prayer. You hear specific instructions. You hear a victory plan. And you know it's him. You hear it crystal clear. You hear, you're winning. Get up. And you believe that's him. And you get up. And your life just goes, psh. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I heard that on the inside. I might be still crying on my bedroom floor. And an alcoholic and crazy and whatever else. It's a good thing to be able to hear the word of the Lord. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him, and they took counsel together. They're having a little trial. And then they said, go bring the guys out of prison. And they're not there, because a spiritual transaction occurred. And they didn't just go home and have breakfast, because the angel of the Lord said to them, New Testament church, and they all heard it. And after they heard it, faith comes by hearing God say something to you. Crystal clear, faith comes then. And they went and they preached. Now, Did God work in a way here that no one could hear him? What? What? Oh, Lord, you're so mysterious. No, no, I'm not. You're just so deaf on the inside. I love it when you whisper, that was my yell. That was me yelling at you. Does God work in mysterious ways? Now he works in miraculous ways, but really this is a catchphrase that we have in the church where people don't believe they could ever know him or hear from him, that he's so mysterious and that he's so out of touch and that he's so out of reach that we could never hear from him. That's a lie. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. Thank you, Lord. There's another story I want to tell you. I don't know if you're ready for it, though. And it's the same kind of a prison story. And I was just noticing certain things about the story. Can I tell you what I noticed first, and then we'll go back and go over it? Because we're going to read this, and you'll go, so? I know you will. Maybe not Agnes and Philip or Sam. Peter was put in prison. Herod came, killed James, the brother of John. The sons of thunder are no more. Then Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, so he came and he took Peter, planning to publicly execute him and make a sport of it. But the people prayed, and the angel of the Lord went into the prison by night, woke Peter up, said, get your coat on, get your shoes on, let's go. Opened the gate of the prison, and it said this, that Peter didn't know if he was having a vision or if it was real. And usually I just read right over that. Just read right over that. He didn't know if he was having a vision from God or if it was actually happening physically. And the Lord said this to me. Peter was able to see things so clearly on the inside that it was almost the same as him seeing physically on the outside. I hope you understand what I mean. Because a lot of people think, come on, God, talk. Your volume up here and your vision here isn't that clear. But Peter, at one point in the dialogue, it says he wist. Let me read it to you now. Are you ready for it? Now, some of you are giving me the squinty eyes. But we've got time. We're on an island. We've just been given 2 weeks off. Nobody can leave except you guys. Okay, I told you the story. Let's get to the dialogue. Verse 7 of Acts chapter 12 and verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And so is Peter hearing this? Yep. And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast your garment about thee and follow me. Verse 9. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, you could easily escape this and just read over it. But the Lord said, it wasn't that Peter was such an idiot. Is this chapter 12? In chapter 10 of Acts, didn't he go up to the rooftop and he was so hungry, but he was up there spending time with the Lord? And while he was there, a vision of a sheet coming down and all manner of animals and beasts, crystal clear. He's seeing things from his spirit. He's seeing visions. He's seeing at a level where it's just as real to him on the inside as is it is seeing with his physical eyes. And that's where I'm trying to get you to the place where you know you've got a set of physical eyes and physical ears that can see out into the physical realm. And are they working good? Maybe some of, I got little cheaters on. You seeing, you're hearing? Okay, you've also got a set of spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that can see and hear into the spirit. And that's where God operates, and that's where God shows you things. Can you be developed to the place where you can see things on the inside just as clear as you're able to see things physically on the outside? I'm challenging you. Let me read this again. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now, I clicked on this word in the Greek. It's not the word dreaming. It's the word eido, which means that which is seen, a form of seeing, to have seen or perceived or to know something. He could not tell if it was happening physically or if it was a spiritual vision on the inside of him. Now, why are you saying this? Because we need to get better at seeing from the inside the things that need to be seen from the inside. I think we're all good at seeing things on the outside, but what we really need to develop in is if God talks to me, I can actually hear him. So I'm always looking for human beings that were at the top of the game. They were functioning at 100%. Let me just read a little bit to you about what the Lord said to me verbatim. He was seeing things spiritually. This is how Peter was operating. Remember, Peter is the guy that was functioning spiritually at the level that you just needed to get within 4 to 6 feet of him. They said the shadow of Peter passing was healing the sick. Peter was functioning at such a high level spiritually on the earth. We're not talking about a bumbling idiot who doesn't know what he's doing. We're talking about a man that was trained personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about a man that was developed to the highest level, I believe, on earth as a disciple of the Lord. He was the A-plus student. And to get to the place where you're doing what we consider the greater works, Jesus said in John 14 and 12, the works, he that believes, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I'm going to the Father. Well, would you agree? The people would have to touch Jesus or touch his garment or touch his clothes, and there was power and virtue coming out of Jesus. As many as touched were made perfectly whole from Luke chapter 6, verse 19. But in Acts, I almost said gospel, the book of Acts, we have a human being trained by Christ and developed to the place spiritually that the power of God is being released out of him beyond his physical body. And it is, if you get close enough to him, the power of God is healing you. Why are you telling us this? Because I don't want you to think Peter's this groggy idiot. Did I just have a dream? Or did I see a vision? He knows what a vision is. And he knows what it is when the Lord talks to him. And he's seeing things at levels that are beyond what we've experienced. So for him to say, he wist not, he wasn't sure whether he saw this on the inside or he was actually physically experiencing this on the outside, that's a clue for us. That means that we should be able to see on the inside spiritual things as clearly as we can see on the outside physical things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Seeing things spiritually were just as real as seeing things physically to him. Can you see crystal clear physically right now? Yeah, well, he was developed to the place where he could see things spiritually crystal clear all the time. And when that angel came to the prison and smote him, he wasn't sure whether it was physical or spirit. He could see both so clearly. And then he realized, oh, it's both. It's a transaction. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Seeing things spiritually were just as real as seeing things physically to him. And at this point, he could not determine if it was an inside spirit vision or a physical reality. Boy, and like I said, if his visions were at this level where it's almost physical. And the closest thing that I can compare it to for us is, have you ever had a dream where you feel like it really happened? It was so real and you saw all the colors and you smelled the dinner cooking on the stove. And he's able to operate at a level spiritually that's just as crystal clear as seeing physically. He could see things so clear both ways. Can I say that again? He could see things so clear both ways, inside and outside. He could see things spiritually. He could see things physically. This is where the Lord Jesus trained him up to. Thank you, Lord. He was fluent in seeing and hearing on the inside to the point. The point is, this is the point the Lord's trying to make, that you can get to the place that hearing or seeing something from God is just as real to you as seeing it with your own physical eyes and feeling it with your own physical senses. Are you seeing it? I'm going to read that again. You can get to the place that hearing and seeing things on the inside from God is just as real or more real than what you're seeing with your physical eyes and hearing with your physical ears. That this voice is the loudest and the strongest voice in your life. Thank you, Father. The enemy would like to cause so much interference with this functioning properly in your life that you're not able to hear God when he speaks to you, that you're not able to see what he wants you to do. You're not able to quite get the message so that faith can come and you can act. You're not sure, was that you, Lord? Or you're not seeing crystal clear enough. You can get there. You can get there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think we're done. I think we got to a good place. Thank you, Lord. Now again, we're trying to learn how to function spiritually down here. Why do you wear that stupid eyeball and that stupid earball and that stupid mouthball on your dress all the time? Well, I just want to put it out in front of your physical eyes that you have a spirit on the inside of you. That is the eternal part of you, and it is also the most important part of you. And you not being able to hear things spiritually or see things spiritually so that you can speak things spiritually, that's not okay. Because the victory is won. What's the victory process? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, give me an example of that. The born of God victory instructions all throughout the Old Testament and Hebrews chapter 11. The born of God instructions here at the prison. Being able to hear or see God speak to you, show you things crystal clear so that you believe it. That was him. I'm not wondering if that was the pizza or the 3-day-old palusami. I know that was him. and I can act on it, and I can be more sure of what I'm seeing and hearing on the inside than seeing things physically on the outside. Do you know, after Brother Dunnick passed, it was an interesting time for me, and several people tried to get me to sell the ship. They didn't believe in the vision of the ship. They didn't believe that I could do it. And I understand not believing in me. I believe in God. I don't believe really in myself. It's a miracle what he's done here. But there were several people that tried to sway me or move me to sell that ship and give up on the vision to reach the last islands here in the South Pacific. And I couldn't do it because there was a louder voice on the inside than there was the voices coming from the outside. And I kept hearing and seeing on the inside. I kept seeing the ship come into the harbor and break the horizon. So what's that? I know it's going to happen. He's showing me the future so I can believe it. And I kept hearing him say, get the ship here. Get the ship here. Get the ship to Samoa. And I've got voices saying, give up on the ship. Sell the ship. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to kill everybody. You understand? There's voices from my mind. Maybe they're right. There's voices in my flesh. I'm tired. I don't know how to do a ship. All kind of voices. But you got to be able to get to the place where this is the loudest voice. This is the victory voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we can go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Maybe you're at this level, and this is a great level. Maybe you're at the level in your life where all you hear is God saying, don't do that. Now, some of you here tonight, maybe God never talked to me. Oh, yeah. That's the baby food. Awa, sasa, leai. Now, I've talked to third years about this. All this week in third years, it was horrible. We talked about not sinning ever again. And we had scriptures for it. God doesn't talk to me, Pastor. Have you ever gone to do something wrong, and on the inside, you sensed a stop sign? Leai. Sasa. Well, your spirit will say that, but his spirit will also bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You're not a devil anymore. You're not a child of the devil. Well, I just came out and said it. You're not the devil anymore. Have you heard this? Don't do that. How many of you, raise your hand, born again Christians? You hear that all the time. You need to take that voice seriously, because the same voice that corrects you at these baby step levels is the same voice that will direct you when you get spiritually mature. And the Lord said, if you can't obey a basic inward witness to not sin, if you can't obey his voice, hear his voice, and obey his voice at that level, that actually keeps you from advancing to where he can talk to you about other things. If we can't obey a basic inward witness to not sin, that's him. He never talks to me. Yeah, he does. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that either. And stop doing that. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word that you might grow thereby. That's it right there. That's part of it. What? Sensing on the inside, don't do that. Don't do that. What's that? That's the voice of your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And if you're not earnestly desiring to hear the correction of the Holy Spirit, you'll never advance to the place where you're receiving major direction from the Holy Spirit like Moses and David are. You'll be living at this low level of Christianity. You'll be going to heaven. Thank you, Lord. So I'm saying this to encourage you, not really discourage you. If you hear that voice, what voice? Him saying, don't do that. Man, you got ears and you've got eyes. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to show you a way up. He's trying to show you a way out. But graduate from don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Master that. Stop doing that. Stop overriding that so you can get on with the big ministry instructions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand up tonight? Have the praise and worship team come. We've been reading the Ephesians prayer, and part of it is that we would have a spirit of revelation and wisdom and knowledge and know him. I don't want to stay blind down here. And I this kind of gal, if there's more, I want it. Not weird stuff. I want the real Palusami. I want the real spiritual experience on earth. I'm not talking about trying to be a weirdo, trying to hear weird voices. I want to know God. If that's available down here, I want it, and I want the real one. And as a teacher, if that's available and I don't show you, teach you how to do it, then I'm not doing my job. And I suppose in heaven, when you're standing before the Lord and the Lord says, did you do what I asked you to do? And you'll say, what do you mean? Do what you never said anything to me. And then he'll look over at me. You never taught him to hear my voice? You never taught him that I talk? You never taught him to operate spiritually? I'm like, now I'm going to teach you everything that's available down here. Let's look on the inside a little bit tonight. Let's exercise. If God's voice is here on the inside, we need to quit looking outside. We need to look inside. And just get quiet. Thank you, Lord. When I close my eyes. Is that our key? What's our key? Is that it?
No.
When I close my eyes. Yes, when I close my eyes. I see your face in all its glory. And I see your hands reaching toward me. And I'm with you, you, I'm with you, you, I'm with you. So let's do that. When I close my eyes, when I close my eyes, these eyes. When I close my eyes, I see your face in all its glory, and I see your hands reaching toward me. Sing the next verse. When I close my eyes, when I bow my knee, I hear your voice calling to me, telling of things you want me to be. And I'm with you, you, I'm with you. I'm with you. So when I close my eyes and when I look inside, I see the plan that you have for me is greater than I ever could be. And I'm seeing it on the inside before it's on the outside. And I'm with you, you, I'm with you, you, I'm with you. So when I close my eyes, yes, when I close my eyes, I see your face in all its glory. And I see your hands reaching toward me. And I see the plan that you have for me is greater than I ever could be. And I hear your voice calling to me, telling of things you want me to be. And I'm with you, you, I'm with you, you, I'm with you. So Father, we purpose to turn all the other voices in our life that would cause your voice to be drowned out, to be snuffed out, to be like you're not even talking to us, or we can't even hear you, that we turn the volume down on everything in this world that would cause us not to hear you. And we take our eyes off of everything in this world that we're seeing physically that would keep us from not being able to see things on the inside. Lord, please teach us. Teach us more about this. Teach us more about this, Lord, by your Spirit, by your gifts. Thank you for direct revelation in this area so that we can get to the place in our life where it doesn't take us 20 years to hear what you've been saying to us for 20 years, and then finally we believe it, and then finally we do it. But and it could have been a 5-minute spiritual transaction, boom, where we hear your voice, we know it's you, we believe it, we step out, we say it, we do it, and instantly the harvest comes in. We need to get to this place to operate in miracles and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These things can't take 20 years. We need instant ability and spiritual development at the level where we can hear you loud and clear, believe you in seconds, say, pick up your bed and walk, and you move. Thank you, Lord. Build us up to that level of spiritual transaction on earth for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Is there anyone here tonight you've never accepted the Lord into your life? I'd like you to pray this prayer with us. Everyone that's here, say, Father God, I believe in you. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to die on the cross for me, to pay for my sin, so I could come back into your family. I accept that Jesus died for me. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that he is Lord. Bring me into your kingdom, Lord. Make me one of your sons. and train me on earth to the highest level possible. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did anyone pray that prayer for the first time tonight? Could you just slip your hand up super quick? Anyone? Anyone pray that prayer tonight for the first time? You know we're all shy here in Samoa. And a lot of them are all saved already. Anyone? All right. Well, we're a little bit over time. But if there's anybody that wants to have hands laid on them for healing, come very quickly right now, okay? Very quickly. And what do I mean by you've been waiting for this all night and you just can't wait to get up here? Anyone here? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. You guys can go ahead and pray. Thank you. Play. Thank you, Father, for your spirit, your power. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing, You Don't Have to Wait. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to wait till heaven to see his face, to know his grace. And you don't have to wait till heaven to feel his power, to taste his glory. And you don't have to wait till heaven to find your answer. You can just take it now. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be strong, be well. Take it now by believing. In Jesus' name. Is it for you? Yeah, for you. In Jesus' name. Be healed, be strong, and be well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. I take it now. I take it now. Thank you, Lord. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, believe. Believe. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, be strong and be well. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, be strong and be well. There's no reason at all that you should be sick. You're a child of the Most High God. It's illegal for you to have any sickness or disease in your body. That's a foul. That's not allowed. So be strong and be well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you were not able to come up, take it now. Thank you, Father. He's here. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. Maybe you need wisdom tonight for the situation that's going on with the virus. I take it now. Maybe you've got a family issue that has not been resolved and it's getting worse. The Lord can fix it by His Spirit. Listen for what He's going to say to you about the matter, about the marriage, about the family member. Thank you, Lord. I take it now. I take it now. Receive it now. I believe. And we speak health and strength over everyone here. Thank you, Lord, that we shall remain under your umbrella of protection, under the blood of Jesus, in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, thank you so much for coming. We so enjoy these Friday night meetings. We will still be having fellowship tonight, so this could be your last fellowship for 2 weeks. I guess it's the ruling by our Prime Minister, and we're happy to do whatever he says. That goes into effect at midnight tonight, and we will not be here Sunday for church. We will not be here for school. The staff will also have the 2 weeks off. I will let the students know this, though. We did have a two-week break built into April. We will not be taking that two-week break. This is your two-week break now. So you're not going to have two-week breaks. You're going to have 1 2-week break. And this one is a gift from our Prime Minister. Praise God. So students, we'll see you back April 6th. Classes will start, and we'll go all the way through 5 weeks, and we'll finish third term. Praise God. All right, guys. Everybody good? Praise and worship team is going to sing, and you are excused. God bless you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.